Actually, I'm a dual citizen. I'm Libyan American. My father's Libyan. My mother's American.
And where did you grow up?
Well, the first 5 years of my life was in the United States, and the rest of my life was here in Libya. But, you know, I go back and forth between the U.S. and here, you know. But my study and my life was mostly here in Libya.
Here in Libya, all right. Where did you grow up in Libya? Which city?
Benghazi City.
When this started, it was a protest. When did you decide to join the people who are actually fighting?
Well, actually, it started like as a protest, but on the 17th, they started, you know, they started shooting and killing people, you know, and since that day, I was with the protesters, you know.
And when did you leave Benghazi and, you know, have you ever used a weapon before? Do you know how to fight?
Well, no, not really. Actually, I decided to buy a weapon when I heard that the Gaddafi forces was entering Brega City. So I decided that I need to buy a weapon and go there to fight with the people and help the people over there, you know. So I just went and started looking for a weapon and I bought one.
Mohammed, how old are you?
21.
And what did you study?
Medical school.
Describe where you are. You're right now in Brega. Say a little bit about where you're staying and who's with you.
Well, I'm in a small camp in Brega City, next to Brega City, you know, with some few of my friends, you know.
Have you been to Ras Lanuf yet?
Well, the day before yesterday.
And what is it like there? Is the fighting pretty intense?
Yeah, it was just, you know, you don't see the enemy. All you see is the rockets, you know, coming towards you, you know. Not towards Ras Lanuf, but the area front of Ras Lanuf, about 5 to 10 kilometers from Ras Lanuf, you know. Same as the days before, you know, just keep bumping with rockets and with the missiles, you know, that's all, you know. Because you see the enemy, all you see is their missiles.
Have you seen any of those who are fighting you?
Yeah, we've seen them with microscopes, you know, from far away, but not as, you know, like close combat, you know. All we see them from far, we see their tanks, we see their missile shooting from far away, but, you know, face-to-face contact, we didn't see them.
How many people are fighting in Ras Lanuf? How many rebels are there?
Well, because the rebels are not only in Ras Lanuf, they're in Brega and they are on the areas between Ras Lanuf and Brega, you know, like each 3 kilometers you find small group, each 3 kilometers you find small group all the way to Ras Lanuf, a little bit after Ras Lanuf, so maybe between 2,000 to 2,500, I cannot, you know, say exactly.
And how would you describe most of the fighters? Are they young men? Are they students? Are they professionals?
Most of them are young, you know. Even they're from 16 years old to 30 years old, you know.
And have any of them been trained? What's the ratio between people who are untrained volunteers and those who might have belonged to the army?
Those who belong to the army are very few, you know, compared to the volunteers, you know. And those volunteers didn't even go to the military, you know, they just took small lessons on how to use AKs and these small guns, you know, that's all they have, you know.
Does this make you afraid that you're not well trained?
No, not really, because it's not that hard, you know, to train on these kind of weapons, you know, and for the last few days they've been training us on heavy weapons, you know, like the 14.5 and the anti-aircraft and the missile launchers, you know. We've been training for the last few days, you know, and it's not that hard, you know.
Where are you getting all the weapons from?
Well, from the camps that took in all the east areas, you know, Benghazi, Beida, Debia, you know, all these areas that used to have the big camps that have the weapons and ammunition. This is where we get them from.
And who's training you?
Well, parties of the armed forces, you know, special forces and the army forces, you know.
How did your family feel about your decision to come fight?
Well, not really. Actually, my mother is in the United States right now, and she's calling like every half an hour, you know, asking about me, and you should go back home, you shouldn't be there, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you know, she's really worried, you know. But my father's kind of okay with the situation, you know, because he's here right now, here in Libya, and he just called me before he called me, and he was fixing this ambulance car to come here to help the people, you know, with helping the wounded people from the battlefield to the hospital, you know.
So what do you tell your mother?
So I just tell her that everything is okay and I'm not near the fire position and, you know, just like that, you know, just keep her, you know, to feel like everything is normal, you know.
Do you have any siblings, Mohammed? Any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, one brother, two sisters.
Are they here in Libya or in the United States?
My brother's here in Benghazi and my two sisters, my mother in the United States.
And is your brother also fighting, or how is he, what is he doing?
No, he's at home, no.
Okay. How long do you think you'll be fighting?
Well, I think it's going to be a long fight, you know. Because if he didn't get out of the country, and, you know, but if he stayed here, it would be a long fight, you know. Because we still have a long way to go, you know. We still have Thirs, we still have Tripoli, we still have Zawiya, you know, all these areas, you know. And from what I see, nobody's going to redraw, you know. Everything is going front, you know, nobody's going back. Nobody even thinking about going back right now.
So what are you looking for in terms of support? What do you think people need the most in order to move forward?
Well, actually, the most thing I think they need more leaders, you know. Like, war leaders, you know, like trained leaders, you know. Because this is the most thing that we don't have right now, leaders, you know.
What is your sense of, you're part American and you spent some time growing up in the United States. Do you see any role for the United States in helping your struggle right now?
Not at all, no. Not really.
Explain why.
Most of the people now, they say, thank God that we are not counting on the United States. If we were counting on the United States or the European Union or the world, we would be dead right now. But we are counting ourselves. We're not counting on anybody. That's what the whole people are saying, you know. All we hear is promises, we will do that, we will do this, we will do this, but we didn't see anything on reality front of us here, right here in the battlefield, you know.
So describe a little bit how it feels from February 15th to now. You've been doing things on your own, like you yourself just described, and trying to, you know, come out on the streets, protest, and then now take up arms and go fight. Do you feel like you've become a different person? What have these experiences done?
Ourselves, we were not realizing how fast it was, you know, just from protesting to fighting to burning, you know, government buildings to carrying weapons, you know, it just started very fast, you know.
And how does it feel? Describe the changes. I mean, this has all happened so fast.
Well, I cannot describe it, you know, it just happened too fast that, you know, some people even still sitting right here say, is this happening, you know, is this true? Am I dreaming or what, you know, just because nobody was thinking that something like this would happen, neither of us or our fathers or even our grandfathers, you know, because we did what our grandfathers and our fathers couldn't do for the last 40 years, you know, so it's something like everybody's wowed, you know.
Has this changed your understanding of what it means to be a Libyan?
No, not really, no. Because Libyan people are known like this, you know, for many years, you know, it was like small, you know, like tiny bomb, you know, but just sleeping, you know, waiting for someone to turn it on, you know, and I think just turns on right now, you know.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mohammed? Is there, you know, just anything you'd like to say about this whole experience?
Well, no, not really. I just want to say that, you know, the world should stop talking and start acting, you know. Because everybody here is saying the same thing, you know, saying the word. We keep hearing in news that they will stop the air, you know, any air forces fly around Libya, or and they will support with their weapons or do anything, you know, but all of this is just talking, you know. We didn't see anything here, you know, just saying what the whole people saying here, you know, saying like the world should start acting, do something, you know, not just talk. This is the whole thing.
What would you like in terms of action? What kind of action are you looking for?
At least, you know, the least thing that they could do is stop, you know, their fighters from flying around the area to Libya. This is the least thing that they can do right now, you know.
Now, would you, as someone who's fighting, who's using arms,
yeah,
would you accept better equipment, better arms? Is this a conversation that's taking place among the fighters, that you need better equipment, and suppose the United States or some other country were to send arms, would this be a useful thing, or is it something that you wouldn't want?
Well, actually, right now, I don't think we need it right now.
You have enough arms.
Yeah, we have enough arms. But the most thing we need is because we don't have any fighters or that much of equipment for anti-aircraft, you know. This is the only thing that we need, that they stop their fighters from traveling around us and shooting us from far away from places that we cannot even see, you know. This is the whole thing. This is what all people is asking for, you know.
Some people in the United States are calling this a civil war. Do you agree?
No, it's not civil war, you know. Just like the war for freedom, you know. It's like, how can I describe it? It's like a revolution, you know. Like, it's just a revolution, like what happened with Gigi Farah and, you know, the rebels, you know. This is how it is, you know. It's not civil war. Because civil war happened between, you know, like two different areas. This is happening between the old people of Libya and between the government, you know. This is how it is.
Once this war is finished, and assuming Gaddafi leaves or is defeated, what would you like to do in your life?
Well, actually, I would like to finish my study and finish opening my dollar store company, because I was just about to open a dollar store here in Libya, and the opening was on the day that the protest starts, so we canceled the opening. So hopefully that as soon as this finishes, we can open the store, you know, and finish with my studies.